would like you to turn with me to Acts chapter 1. I'm sure you won't be surprised that I'm reading from these verses today. And we're going to read verse 2 through to 11. And this is Luke writing, and he's writing to some sort of judge or something. Lots of people think that it was a defense document for Paul when he was in prison, but that's perhaps not too relevant this morning. But Paul is writing, Luke is writing, and he's giving the story. And in the book of Luke, he gives the story of Jesus. And then in the book of Acts, he gives the story of the church. And so this is right at the beginning, and of course, after Jesus' crucifixion. And I'm trying to see in my Bible where first. It says, during the 40 days after his crucifixion, that's Jesus obviously, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying these things, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. And then if you just turn the page to Acts chapter 2, just going to read a couple of verses there. From verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them that ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can it be, they exclaimed, these people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. And then we read, and we're not going to read it all today, but Peter preaches, and verse 41, it just says this, those who believed what Peter said and were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. What a fantastic day that was. But I just want to go back, as I begin with, to the couple of months before that, maybe the 3 or 4 months before that. If you go to John chapter 10, you see the winter comes. And Jesus comes to Jerusalem in the winter before that spring. And in that time, and you can read in John 10 and John 11, Jesus is there, and that's the time when he says things like, I am. He claims to be the Messiah. There's no doubt from what he says who he believes that he is. And the people pick up stones to stone him, and they drive him out of Jerusalem. And then just a few weeks after that, we're not quite sure when, but before Passover, which is in the spring, Jesus comes back to Bethany, very, very close to Jerusalem, just a mile or so away, and raises Lazarus from the dead. And then the Jews, the Pharisees, the leaders are saying, we need to kill this man. We need to get rid of him. And Jesus' next visit to Jerusalem, you know, he travels back up to Galilee and around the other places. His next visit to Jerusalem is at Passover. And he is welcomed by the people as Messiah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We call it the triumphal entry. He comes into Jerusalem and they want to make him king. And then before the week is out, they've crucified him. And then he's raised from the dead. I want you to start to think about the people of Jerusalem when they return for their next festival, the next Jewish feast, 50 days after Passover, Pentecost. The first fruits festival, when they come and they give thanks to God for his provision and all of these things. And they've been hearing rumors in the meantime. Jesus is risen from the dead. And they've been hearing rumors that Jesus had been teaching his disciples for 40 days in Galilee. And the people are returning to Jerusalem from all over the Jewish world. And what are they talking about? Last time we were here, Jesus was crucified. Have you heard what people are saying? Have you heard? Some people are saying that Jesus is risen from the dead. I wonder if he'll be here. Will he show up? Is he really raised from the dead? What an amazing thing. And when you say from the Jewish world, you know, there were people from North Africa. There were people from right across in what is now Iran, Iraq. There were people from, Greece and further west than that and further north. They were from all over the Jewish world. And they were there in Jerusalem, as they did three times a year. And they were commanded to in the law of Moses. And they were there to celebrate. But what was the talk of the town? Well, it was certainly Jesus' crucifixion last time. Some of them weren't there. Maybe those stories were being told. And these rumors. And Paul tells us in, I think it's in Corinthians, 500 people saw him in one go. These were not, you know, isolated rumors. If you imagine 500 people going and telling their friends who tell their friends. And so we get to the day of Pentecost, the festival that was, it's called Pentecost because it's 50 days after Passover. And there must have been an incredible atmosphere of expectation in Jerusalem at that time. And meanwhile, in the time between, Jesus has spent 40 days teaching his disciples about the kingdom of God. And there are two things probably we remember well that he told us between that time. One of them is this: go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations. And we would often think that's the last words of Jesus. Of course, it's not. The last word of Jesus before his ascension was, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes on you. Luke records it at the end of Luke, and then again, the same, he records it at the beginning of Acts. Wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You know, the Jewish world was expecting something at that time. I don't know if they knew what they were expecting, but they were returning to Jerusalem, hearing these rumors and thinking, what's going to happen? Maybe we'll overthrow the Romans. Maybe the kingdom of God will come. Maybe Jesus will be here again, raised from the dead. Thousands of people were ready to be added to the kingdom of God. They didn't really understand what that meant. We now know, you know, it's being born again of the Spirit of God. And in the next few days, Peter preaches 3,000. In the next few days, many, many more thousands added to the church. Because they're ready. The harvest is ripe. It's plentiful. Jesus said that in another place, didn't he? And you know, if you speak to many people who have some sort of spiritual insight at the moment, there are many people that think that is the place we're in here in the UK at the moment. The harvest is ripe. People are expecting or looking for something. Something spiritual has been going on through this whole time when we've not been able to meet with one another. We've been looking inside ourselves. We've been wondering what's going on here. And there are many, many people who are saying there's more to life than this. And we're in a place now in the UK where people are ready to hear the gospel. They're ready for someone to come and say, Jesus wants to, you know, he wants you to be born again by the Spirit of God. But here's the thing. Jesus said, go and preach the gospel, but he said, first of all, wait in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit comes on you. You know, I could hype us up this morning as a church and say, we've got to go out and reach the lost. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And in our guilt, because we haven't been doing it, we'd go out and do it. And we'd go and try our best, and we'd try and persuade people to be followers of Jesus. But I want to tell you this, we should wait until the Spirit comes on us. Because if we're going not in our own strength rather than the strength that he brings us, you know, we'll be doing it, you know, out of our own persuasive words, trying our best, probably with good motives, but we're going without the power and authority that Jesus has given us as a church. And this morning, we need to be going in that authority. We need to be going with the power that he gives us. We need to be going because we're motivated, because the Spirit lives here, not because we feel guilty like we should do because Jesus said so. Because actually, he said, wait, first of all. It's really interesting. I noticed partway through the worship, sorry, Jim, that these steps were on the edge of the stage. I'm moving around and the cameras are, Jim's struggling. And I thought, they've been left here since yesterday. Obviously the wedding was clearing up and they used the steps and somebody left them on the corner of the stage. And I thought, if Jim had seen them in the camera, he'd have come and moved them. But it just spoke something to me that's been in my mind and my heart for a very long time. And so I left them there, and now I've got them here. You know, these are ugly steps. They're covered in paint. They're covered in green paint, the paint that's on the walls around here. They don't look beautiful. They look like they're made for a purpose. They look like they've been used for a purpose. Lectern stand is also pretty battered. This has been in and out of the trailer when we were mobile, when we were meeting in the school, and every week everything came out of the trailer. It's bent and it's battered, and I like that. One day we'll ponce it up and make it nice again, respray it and, you know, make it. But I like the fact that it's been used. I like the fact that it's got a purpose. I've lost track of days because of the wedding. On Friday, I think, it was my mum's birthday. Is that right? Where is she? And we were at Josh and Anna's trying to sit in the garden in all the horrible weather. And Edie knocked a plate off. Anna was not impressed. She was quite well bet. Was it you or was it? No, it was Evan. Evan knocked a plate off. And it was one of the... My parents had been given that set for their wedding. 54 years ago. I can't hear what they're saying. 53 and a half years ago. Well, that was pretty good. So it was a wedding present for them. The trouble is, my parents had lots of wedding presents. So that particular set got shoved in a cupboard and was never used. So since they moved house, and Anna sort of grabbed all of these things and said, right, I'm having that then. So they've been in Anna's house for quite a few years now. And one of them got broken on Friday. But here's the thing, better that they get broken being used than shoved in a cupboard and not used. And it's not because my parents didn't like them. I think it's just they had so many. As growing up as kids, we had cupboards full of these things. Anyway, why am I saying that? It's a purpose. This is left here because it was being used. And as the church, we're not here to look beautiful. Maybe you do, are. I don't think, you know, we all are. But we're here for a purpose. We're not here to just be pretty and pontificate and say nice stuff. We're here to preach the gospel. We're here to bring the power of the Holy Spirit to our community. We're here to do something. And these steps are not here to look pretty. They're here to do something. And they got left out yesterday, and it reminded me of that fact. So this morning, I just want to remind you what the Holy Spirit is here in us to do. The first thing is this. We've read the verse in Acts 1:8. It says, you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know, the Holy Spirit, when he comes on us, he challenges us to reach everyone. There's nobody excluded here. And that may be a lesson for some of us. There's nobody excluded here. We are here to reach everyone. And you know, when they spoke in tongues, they spoke in the languages of everyone that was there. They didn't need to do that because all those people there spoke Greek. They could have spoke a language that everyone understood. And I'm sure when Peter preached, he either preached in Greek or Aramaic, and they all understood him. But here's the thing, God did a miracle so that they could know that Jesus was raised from the dead. God did a miracle, and they heard people speaking their own dialects, their own languages. And it proved the gospel, it proved the resurrection. And God does supernatural things. So it wasn't necessary for them to speak those languages, but God did it to show those people who he was and the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, you'll be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes, we don't need motivation for evangelism because he stirs something in us. And the challenge for us, I think, is do we need to stir up that part, the Holy Spirit in us? Do we need to say, God, again, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit, that we be stirred to reach people for Christ? The second thing I want to just remind you of this morning is the first, the Holy Spirit, you know, makes us witnesses, makes us reach everyone. The second thing is the Holy Spirit brings power. Acts 1 verse 8 again, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. If you read the next few chapters of Acts, you'll find miracles all over the place. Incredible stuff going on. And in a sense, you get the picture that a few are recorded here, but many more are happening. It's going on all over the place. The first of these miracles, we read in what we read this morning, the tongues, the messages in, or the gift of tongues that these disciples are given. And they're proclaiming Jesus in the languages of, that they've never learned. And I've spoken to many people, perhaps not many, but certainly lots of people who have had that same experience or know someone who has had that same experience. They're speaking in tongues somewhere and it's the local dialect. I heard David Petz, one of the used to be the principal at Mattersea Bible College, tells a story of he was in a meeting one day and somebody brought this message in tongues to the meeting one of his students, and he brought an interpretation. We're not going to go into the gifts of the Spirit this morning, but at the end of it, one of his students came excitedly to him and said, the message in tongues, it was in my language, my dialect. She was from Burkina Faso, and it was the Mori language, and those of us that have been to Burkina Faso have met the Mossi. The Mossi is the largest people group in Burkina Faso. Mori is their language, and this message of tongues was in Mori. And David Pett tells the story in a very funny way because his student from Burkina Faso is coming excitedly and all he can think is, was my interpretation correct? So he says, and the interpretation, and she looked at him as though, what are you talking about? She said, well, of course it was accurate. But I've heard so many times, and I, you know, every time I go to Burkina Faso or another country and I'm in a meeting and I'm speaking in tongues, I'm thinking, I'm wondering if the person next to me is hearing something that I don't know. You know, I'm praying and I'm speaking, and I sometimes speak tongues even louder because I'm almost expecting a miracle like that. It's not very often I'm in those environments where, you know, the people I'm around are of a different language. Oh, I'd love that to happen to me. But it still goes on today. God reveals himself in that way through miracles. And that's the first of the miracles. But we see, you know, the lame man is raised at the gate of the temple. And all of this stuff's going on at the beginning. You will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. This world needs a supernatural church. That one that demonstrates Jesus and Jesus' resurrection by miracles. You know, this world is spiritually hungry right now. All around us, people spiritually hungry. Not everyone, but some are. And if we can demonstrate Jesus, people will be born again. I am absolutely confident of that. The third thing that I just want to remind you of this morning is the Holy Spirit is not for my benefit. It's not for your benefit. It does benefit us, but that's not the reason. We often say things like, well, you know, when you're going through a hard time, well, Jesus is with you. And we say it to encourage one another, and it is, of course, true. He is living here in our hearts. But that is not the reason the Holy Spirit is given to us. It's one of the benefits, but it's not the reason. You know, as a kid, I was almost in our churches as Pentecostals. It was almost like, be filled with the Holy Spirit so you can speak in tongues. Well, I want to tell you, we're not filled with the Holy Spirit so we can speak in tongues, although those are good things. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit so we can prophesy, although those are good things. We're filled with the Holy Spirit to give us power for witness. You know, Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, he got the wrong motive. He said, can I be filled with the Holy Spirit so that I can do miracles like you? Because he wanted the glory. But we should be filled with the Holy Spirit so that he can have the glory. Our motive should be, God, fill me with your Spirit so that I can preach you better, so that I can proclaim you to this community that we live in. So in a sense, my third point is the first two points combined. We're filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can be supernatural witnesses. We can be witnesses, but witnesses with the power of the Holy Spirit on us, preaching with miracles. People cannot be transformed by persuasion, but they can be transformed by the Spirit of God. When we're born again of the Spirit, lives are transformed. And therefore, we need to be people who are living and walking day by day in the power of the Holy Spirit. Just to bring this to a conclusion now, I asked you the question at the beginning, but again, have you ever wondered why Jesus did not appear at Pentecost? Why he was ascended into heaven 10 days before? What would have happened if he had appeared? Why didn't he appear? Seems logical to me, if he's going to rise from the dead, appear and preach the gospel to all of these people. But instead, he left it to us. And I think the reason he didn't appear is because it's our job. The reason he didn't appear is he doesn't want us to have an excuse that we're missing a super evangelist. We can read about Peter, who preached that day and 3,000 people responded to the gospel. You know, we can read about his life and we know he wasn't too much different than us. He regularly did the wrong thing. He regularly put his foot in it. He regularly, you know, Jesus one time said, "Get away from me, Satan." But the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him and gave him boldness and confidence and authority to preach the good news of Jesus. We're called to go and preach the gospel to all nations. But Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We have the same Holy Spirit that filled Peter and the others on the day of Pentecost. That filled Philip, who could preach in Samaria, and lots of people came, you know, came to Christ and then got transported to the road south and the Ethiopian eunuch and all of those stories that we read. The same Holy Spirit lives in us. Paul says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Now I want to tell you, we probably, most of us know that in our heads already. But there aren't many of us that are waiting on God to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can go in power to glorify his name. See, this is the thing I wrote in my notes. They did not stay in the upper room. However, that's incorrect because they weren't in the upper room anyway. That's a thing that most of us Pentecostals believe because we had a hymn that said so, but it's not in the Bible. Anyway, that's an aside completely. They didn't stay in the room where the Holy Spirit came. What they did was they started speaking in tongues and they spilled out the doors and the people could hear the noise and they came running to see what's going on. You know, we can sing. I have expected this morning to sing and we didn't sing, so it's quite good. Ian, I was getting ready to say, we can sing, you know, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We love to be in your presence. And that's great. And it's fantastic when we're here in the presence of Jesus. But he's not, we don't come here to be in the presence of Jesus to have a good time for ourselves. We come here in the presence of Jesus so that we spill out of here with power and authority and go into our community preaching Jesus with authority, with power, with miracles. And here's the challenge. I'm not aware of any testimonies in this, you know, someone will come and correct me later, in this group of believers in the last few weeks. Why not? Because we're not going in the power and authority. Because we're not waiting till the Holy Spirit comes upon us. What a challenge that is to me. What a challenge that is to all of us. Why am I not doing that in my life? Those of Jesus' disciples, 120 of them, you know, it wasn't much later. They were accused of turning the world upside down. So, I'm going to close now and Ian's going to come and we're going to sing a song, which I've already forgotten what it was, but it's about us committing to be what he's called us to be, committing ourselves to follow and do what he's called us to. But here's my challenge. Is let's have a greater expectation. Let's be those, you know, when Jesus taught them all about the Holy Spirit coming, when they said the Holy Spirit will, when Jesus taught them the Holy Spirit's going to come, be another one the same as me, the Paraclete, all that stuff in John. They had got all this teaching up here, but the key is this: wait in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. How much waiting are we doing in the presence of God? If we're not doing what they were doing, and yet the same Holy Spirit lives in here, then we need to start doing what they were doing. They came together in one place to pray, to worship, to wait on God. Seems like they were doing it for 10 days. There's some commitment to this. God, put something in me to wait on you. God, put something in me to want to see this stuff in my life. God, put something in us. Stir our hearts to get into your presence and wait. Father, that we can go from here full of the Holy Spirit, changing our community, being supernatural witnesses because of what you're doing amongst us. We're going to sing. Maybe you can stand as we sing, and let's make this our commitment. What is it? There must be more than this breath of God. Come and breathe within. What a challenge that first line even is. There must be more. We know this more. It's here. We know this more. It's here in the Bible, reading Acts. Well, if there's more, I want it, God. Let's make this our prayer. Let's stand as we sing. Thanks, Ian.